Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Yo, this is Miss FWA Maserati, rocking it with the Vegas Boys. It's all about attitude.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact. I got the Bad Boys with me via Skype. Sin City Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're good. King Lucky, what up?
1, 2, is this thing on?
Yo, Impact, hit me with that Triple H.
All right. Simon Street, how you do?
I'm doing pretty good. I just really am curious to find out what the hell is a Triple H and how do you bring it, Impact?
I don't know. We're going to let King Lucky explain that later on.
That's Triple H's original theme.
That is Matt Michaels. What up?
Yeah, the coronavirus.
Oh, gee. Oh man. Yeah. Well, that is a quite a situation to be caught up in.
Let's. If you're in China.
Yeah, definitely. Our show is actually sponsored by Vegas Bad Boys live show, which is kicking off Wednesday, March 11th, Boulder Station, where we will have PCO, which is ROH current World Heavyweight Champion. Come through, everyone. 6 p.m. time start around there. 21 and over, please. It's going to be a great show. It's the week leading into ROH pay-per-view and live show, or a televised show, I should say. So we have that going on that week. Again, it's March 11th, Boulder Station. Guys, a lot of wrestling happening this past weekend, and even last week, a lot of pay-per-views are being built up. But we have to start over with NXT TakeOver Portland. I tell you, can TakeOver, is it even possible for them to put on a bad show? I mean, is it even possible? Because the show was, from the beginning, with Keith Lee and Dijakovic, just starting off, was just awesome. I'm going to start off with you, Sin City Steve. I know you are a big fan of NXT. What was your kind of thoughts on this pay-per-view as you was watching it?
Man, I'll tell you, this show was absolutely great from beginning to end. Well, almost from beginning to end. I don't get the fascination with having Poppy on NXT programming, but that's just me. That's personal taste and whatever. But in any event, all of the in-ring product was amazing on this show.
Yeah.
For me, the match of the night was Balor and Gargano. Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't think I've seen as good of a Finn Balor match since he's been under the WWE umbrella. Wow. Since he's been here. Mm-hmm. And I think that Johnny Gargano really brought out the best in Finn, and Finn brought out the best in Gargano. And this was a fucking match of the year candidate as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
In the Tokyo Dome.
If it was in the Tokyo Dome, it would have been the match of the year. No, I mean, everything from beginning to end, you know, the women's match was good. They definitely did not make Bianca Belair into a lame duck challenger, which is what I was really afraid of.
Yeah.
You know, obviously word got leaked that Charlotte was going to be challenging Rhea Ripley at Mania, and that realistically was not going to that wasn't going to become public knowledge until tonight, according to according to Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez of the Wrestling Observer. Mm-hmm. But that information got leaked. And so it basically, I don't want to say invalidated this championship match, but that was my worry, was that they would make Bianca Belair look weak in this. They definitely did not. They made her look like a very credible challenger. And her star is definitely shining bright in NXT.
Yeah.
Everyone on the show just honestly, yeah, it was amazing. Everybody put forth their best effort at TakeOver.
Let me ask you this, King Lucky. I want you to tell me what you thought of the show as well. But do you think there's a possibility of Bianca being added into the a three-way title for Mania?
It certainly seems like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they should keep it just the one-on-one match, but it certainly seems like it with Charlotte attacking Bianca Belair at the end of the match,
right,
in addition to Rhea Ripley. So, look,
but
I certainly think it would be awesome if they did. It would make two stars that night. I mean, listen, those girls are already stars, Ripley and Belair. But I think it would certainly solidify them on a grand stage.
Well, okay. Well, let me ask you this. And I mean, in Simon Street, you could jump in on this one as well. If that was the case, that it became a three-way, isn't pretty much Belair going to take the fall? She would have to, right?
One would think so, yeah. I would.
Yeah.
As much as I would hate to see it, one would think so.
I think eventually she's going to get her spotlight. And I think it won't just be as a place. I think that she'll be a mainstay. I think NXT has shown us throughout the years who they have selected to kind of carry the company. I guess you could say, as you know, like usual four, like two men, two women. And I can guarantee her name is in that conversation. I will say that it was an excellent match. I like the way the NXT, as y'all gentlemen stated earlier, are continuing to book Bianca Belair as strong and capable. She has the personality. She obviously looks good as hell in the ring and outside the ring. And, you know, I think we can all agree we're going to see some great things from her regardless. The one match that I wouldn't say I enjoyed, but I'm still kind of like the what the fuck, was Knox versus Kai in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Me scratching my head a little bit, just you know, as Gonzalez threw Knox, which was supposed to be through a table, but
right,
if you ever like flip like a penny on the table and it just bounced off the table, that's kind of what happened with Knox. She just bounced off the table, which probably hurt really, really bad. She did not go through the table. It's pretty short plane. But I'm just interested to see what are they doing with Gonzalez? You know what I mean? What's her purpose with that? Because, you know, the way they sold it, you know, it wasn't part of Dakota Kai's plan.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, are they trying to do some things with you know, the women's division in NXT? As obviously, to me personally, they seem to be making more interchangeable moves with their women's division than their competition, AEW. Not saying with that same night on a weekly basis. I feel like NXT is trying to do different things with their women. But yeah. I would say overall, really good show. I'm always entertained by NXT and look forward to the next takeover, which should be WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Weekend. Pretty sure the card's going to be stacked and we're all going to be either watching at home, or I know a couple of y'all gentlemen are going to actually be going to that takeover, and it looks to be an event as usual.
Absolutely. Matt Michaels, I knew that Ciampa had to lose the match, but the match was so good, I was beginning to second guess myself, going, maybe he's really about to win this match. And I knew he was going to lose it because you can't give him the belt on a Portland takeover. That has to be a Mania takeover. I mean, what's your take on that, man?
I hope people in Portland listen to us.
Hey, that's not beating up on Portland. I'm just saying that
you basically just like called them like the chopped liver of fucking cities. well, you know, if it was WrestleMania,
I mean, come on, but
Tampa Bay.
Look, it
Tampa's so much better than Portland.
It doesn't matter if that match took place in New York City. I would say the same thing because it's not Mania. As long as wherever Mania is at, Mania could have been in Arkansas. I would have said the same exact thing.
Oh, now you're fucking saying Arkansas shit.
Damn, man.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, wow.
You're not going to be able to go to freaking Arkansas.
Oh, my God. All right, man. What's your take?
You know, the title match in itself was going to be good because of the two performers and the history of the story.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, it got, because of the injury, you ended up getting, a forced longer storyline per se. But a lot of times that helps because there's so much more to a match like that. And you can also just keep him chasing the belt going into Mania if you want to put the title back on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, in the end, it's, I think with the talent they have, it's amazing that they're able to resist flipping that belt around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that brings more credibility to establishing the title as meaning something more than just a television prop.
Right, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump over right quick over to AEW. Which I'm going to come to you. Start off with you, King Lucky. You haven't said too much. The Revolution card is looking to be stacked. But before we jump on the card, or if you want to ask something about the card, were you excited, or I wouldn't say excited, but when you watched the match with Nyla and Riho, were you going, okay, come on. Nyla's got to really be champion this time because it was ridiculous when they failed the first time on that. It's unbelievable for Rio to have even been champion against her. So when you saw the match and it came out the way it was supposed to be, where you're like, yeah, exactly.
I was actually surprised that they gave the belt to Nyla. So it was actually quite the surprise during the show. You know, I thought Rio might have retained. She hasn't really been that active, mm-hmm. you know. And so I thought overall, you know, it was just going to stay on her. But I was pleasantly surprised that, you know, they actually gave it to Nyla Rose. And it was a damn good match. You know, they certainly took it up a notch. And also, on that same note, one mm-hmm. of the biggest standouts from last week's TV was MJF and Jungle Boy. That match, oof, yeah. It tore down the house.
Right.
You know, and... Mm-hmm. It just shows you what the future looks like for AEW. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, Jeff Cobb at the end. Wow. That was an awesome appearance. Rumor has it.
Okay. All right. All right. I've been waiting to hear that.
Rumor has it that he's not officially signed yet, but, you know, He definitely deserves a contract after the showing that they had with him. So mm-hmm. He was what they call Jericho's hired hitman, and he made a strong debut, if you will.
Yeah.
On AEW programming. So overall, it was a really good show last week.
Are you looking forward to any particular match for Revolution?
I think it's time to get the belt on Mox.
Mm.
You know, it's been a long, winding story. I mean, they've had some interesting things like Mox becoming a pirate and losing his eye, and, you know, but I think I think it's time for, you know, Chris Jericho to come off the strap, and why not Mox?
Sensitive Steve, I'll let you reply to what he just said, but what was your whole take also on the whole eye for an eye with Moxley and Santana?
So here's the thing is, it just from outward appearance, obviously it's hokey as shit. it's crazy because if you guys will think back to when we first started talking about AEW, before there were any shows, we had mentioned that AEW was going to be this sports product that you know, focused heavily on that type of aspect and not so much on the entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And yet these guys are running territorial wrestling angles from the fucking 1970s.
Right, yeah.
It's pro wrestling 101. So it's one of those things that, you know, did they shy away from what their initial mission statement was or what it appeared to be? Yes, but I feel that we've gotten some great promos, some great storylines that have come out of this. And I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I had no fucking idea that Santana could cut a promo like what he did.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That promo that he cut on Dynamite was fucking fire. So I think that we're starting to see more of a sports entertainment feel being embraced by AEW and by their fan base as well, led by Pirate Mox.
Absolutely.
Wow. Sin City Mark.
Shit. Anything else to add, Michaels? Are you just going to chime in with like two words from the peanut gallery, or I'm sorry, the peanut gallery. And you just going to sit there and, you know, fire off a couple of quick witticisms?
No. I'm going to make like JR and just stumble my way through this. God damn it.
To do that, you got to call me like Sin City Sean or something.
Well, I said Sin City Mark. Sin City Mark, right? Oh, damn. Well, let's eat some barbecue here, boy.
Let me ask.
Oh, God.
Go ahead.
Show's good. Show's good. You know, it's good. But, I mean, lucky saying that Nyla match was fire, whatever the hell he used. I mean, good God. I don't even know why that belt was on her in the first place.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I Riho definitely helped carry Nyla to a great match. Nyla has really stepped up her in-ring efforts as well. So I think it was a great showing by both ladies in that match.
Let me ask you, let me go over to you, Michaels, and then I have one for you, Simon Street, coming up. I know you didn't prepare for this particular story, but I'm just curious, Matt, what you thought of this. It was reported at the WrestlingNews.co that an arena refused to work with AEW over the relationship with WWE. So apparently AEW has found it difficult to run in the Cincinnati arena because they don't have a lot of options. And per the report, the reason for that is due to their relationship with WWE, as WWE runs the arena when they hold their events in the area. So apparently, and I guess that arena is the U.S. Bank Arena. There's also the Heritage Bank Arena. But neither one will do business with AEW because of their relationship with WWE. What's your take on that? I mean, is that good business? Yeah, you know, I mean, other arenas, and granted, AEW hasn't really ran any other buildings that WWE are in, but I mean, is that really good? I mean, as an arena, you're trying to do what you can to fill in seats when the arena is not open. You know, when it's closed, you're trying to open it up so you can get people in there. So is it good business to say, well, you know, because we like this group over this one, we're not going to allow them in?
Well, the biggest thing is we have no idea what these contracts are.
Right.
You know, you can report something like this, but it's just hearsay and bullshit until you see the actual, you know, workings of what the agreement is. And I'm sure that, Madison Square Garden is that kind of thing. You know, they had that deal with them that basically made them the exclusive brand in the garden. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is on this, because sure. It's really hard to say. And the other thing too is that like the comparison of the arenas, what's the difference in size? And what kind of stuff does that other arena house? And also the other question is, do any other teams play there that the scheduling would be a counter to, you know, being able to actually get in a space?
The U.S. Bank Arena seems – that name sounds familiar. I think that's probably the bigger arena than the Heritage. Oh, go ahead, Steve.
Really quick, I was actually – I'm originally from the Cincinnati area.
Oh, perfect.
I've seen numerous
– Well, goddamn, boy.
By God.
That's good to know there, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Anyway.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, the Heritage Bank Center is the U.S. Bank Arena. They're one and the same. Basically, oh, gotcha. The leasing rights just came up on the U.S. Bank Arena, and they didn't renew them, and it was picked up by Heritage Bank.
Okay.
So Heritage Bank Center has a capacity of 17,556, according to Google. The thing that I can tell you is when WWE's Attitude Era was running hot, they would sell almost the full arena. I remember numerous times where they did not have a sellout, and it was, right in the boom period. Now I will throw this out there. There is another arena in Cincinnati. It is a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
The CentOS Center is just a few miles away, and that arena has a capacity of right over 10,000. So realistically speaking, I don't know how much credence I give to this report, because they could just as easily book the CentOS Center and fill that bitch all the way to capacity.
Yeah.
Make it look really good on TV, and it's a moot point either way.
Right, yeah.
So.
Gotcha. Simon Street, I'm just curious, man. The Dark Order, apparently they seem to have their eyes on Christopher Daniels. Do you have any insight on this, man? Is Christopher going to be the leader of this group? And even if you don't know, tell me, what's your take on this entire storyline? And would Christopher Daniels even be a good leader for the Dark Order?
Even if he doesn't know, of course he doesn't know. He's not on the writing team.
Exactly. I was just about to actually say that. But outside of not knowing what the writing team's going to do and how they go about, you know, filling out what the storylines for the next couple of weeks are going to be, it is entertaining to watch. I will tell you that first and foremost. I think Christopher Daniels, if it does go down that route, I think that would be great. It's no secret that, you know, a lot of people want to see more Daniels, probably more in the capacity of, you know, Fallen Angel. So, I mean, I I don't know if they'll tie that into the whole thing or what. But it's interesting, you know, just like how week before last, you know, they came out and, you know, all of a sudden Chris Daniels said, well, let me go take care of that in the back. Okay, well, what are you taking care of? You know, I mean, people want to know, and it's interesting. And, you know, as long as it continues to be interesting, I'm sure you'll see Daniels interjected in any type of way or capacity, shape or form. But
I love how your answers are just putting words together.
It is pretty much, because I mean, I'm not part of the writing team at all, so I would have no idea. Do I find it entertaining? Yes. Is it the most entertaining thing on Dynamite to me? No. I wouldn't say that at all. Do I want to see more of Christopher Daniels on AEW? Fuck yes. Does that answer your question?
Rumor has it.
Oh my gosh. And the smegma breath came through the microphone.
All right. Well, it's CM Punk. We get it. We get it. It's CM Punk. Okay. Move on.
Next. Well, one certain WWE Raw superstar who.
Who's that?
Just about done.
Oh, God.
What, with, Matt Hardy?
With Matt Hardy? WWE. Yep. Is being rumored.
That's
the chosen one.
The exalted one.
The exalted one.
The exalted
one. So it's being rumored. It's being rumored, but he's still under contract right now to the WWE. So how could it be rumored? Because they can't even talk to him about it. That's tampering.
Yeah.
Of course. And that's why I think they leave the open-ended storyline right now, where you could have, you know, could it be Christopher Daniels? But in just a little bit over a week here, he'll be free and clear to explore his options.
And then he doesn't firsthand. And then what happens?
And then I'm sure he's got a 90-day no-compete clause, so it'll be interesting to see.
Are you sure it's 90 days? Might not be longer?
That's typically the standard.
90 days is the standard?
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. So 90 days, no-compete.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to see how they tie this this Dark Order angle up, but I think it is moving in the right direction. I didn't like the way they were taken out last week on TV, but, you know, overall, I think they're doing well with that storyline.
Okay. Until then, was there anybody, I don't know, I already asked, I think I asked you, I did ask King Lucky. So for the rest of you, is there any matches you're looking forward to on Revolution coming up? Matt, Sin City, Simon Street.
I mean, I would just say Jericho.
Okay.
Moxley. I mean, the main card, I mean, is just built up very well. And, you know, I, for one, would like to see the belt come off with what would you call himself? Le Champion? I'd like to see that happen and see, you know, moving forward, if it is Moxley, how does AEW showcase Moxley as a champion? And this is interesting, if you will, because when's the last time we've seen Moxley as a champion, or if you want to say Dean Ambrose? So it's interesting to see him as a champion in a new company, how he's booked in comparison, because you know you're all going to do it in the back of your heads, compared to, you know, when he was champion at WWE. What are the differences? So I think that's going to be an interesting factor as well. And it's
so what were the differences with Jericho on WWE when he was the champion?
I think it's kind of tough to put that on there if we're trying to compare it to what I'm trying to present. Because Jericho, if you look at it, he's already had opportunities of being associated with many different companies. You know, I mean, he's been a champion New Japan. He's been a champion when he's at WCW. He's been a champion WWE. I mean, Jericho is one of those once-in-a-lifetime type people, if you will, he can make whatever he wants.
You're missing my point.
Well, what's your point?
My point is that, why put the belt on him when you can put the belt on someone who hasn't been on WWE TV within the last fucking 5 years. Throw it on someone else.
Well, yeah, true. But here's the thing. He's not in the main card. I mean, that person you're speaking about, or a person you're speaking about. Right now we're talking about Jericho and Moxley. So as long as we're still talking about Jericho and Moxley, that's what we're going to stick to.
What?
Either one of those gentlemen are going to win, correct? So either Jericho will still be champion,
what
or Moxley will be champion.
Is Moxley doesn't need the belt. Why put the belt on him?
You got a point that he might...
Someone else.
Okay, who would you put the belt on? Who?
You got Hangman Page, haven't seen it. You got Omega, haven't seen it. Why not those two?
Okay, so my question is what kind of way are you just going to book that match? Is it going to be out of nowhere? Just going to snap our fingers?
No, I'm not booking the match right now. I'm saying you don't have to fucking put the belt on Moxley because you're saying that, oh, it'd be great to see Moxley with the belt because, you know, we could compare it to the WWE. Let's see someone else take the belt. Don't put it on Moxley. Have him lose. Go on to the next and give it to someone like, you know, Hangman that you haven't seen.
I mean, I see your point. I was only speaking from the standpoint of what's on the card. What's on the card is Moxley and Jericho, and so that's all I'm talking about. But thank you for sharing, you know, other possibilities for the future.
All right. Matter City, did you guys want to respond to what you're looking for?
Man. Go ahead. So I really want to see Cody finally get his hands on MJF.
Yeah, I'm actually excited for that one too.
Yeah. They've built that one right. They've, you know, every single little thing that they've done with this feud has played out perfectly so far. So I really want to see this. Now, obviously, I don't think this one will be a one and done. Just like how I don't think the AEW championship match will be a one and done either. Mm-hmm. So I think that there'll be I could see Cody getting the win in this match, and then obviously having MJF and then Wardlow destroy Cody after the match to get their heat back. But yeah, I think that match is going to be a standout match. Plus, let's call it what it is. Everyone's thinking that the Kenny Omega and Hangman Page match will end with one of them finally formally turning on the other and costing them the championships against the winners of the Battle Royal, which is slated to take place on February 19th. So we still don't know who their challengers will be, but it's the odds-on favorite that whoever wins that match will also defeat them at Revolution.
Let me guess, like he's going to say, oh, it's going to be the Revival.
Hashtag FTR.
Oh, man.
No, Dick. They're still under contract.
You're right. No Dick.
No Dick.
Hey, but since we switched back to WWE, I do want to talk a few things about SmackDown.
I was on my... You just going to jump right over?
Of course.
I'm just working my way through.
That's right. But go ahead.
He's the king of the dicks.
You are the master of ceremonies.
Okay.
And you are the masturbator.
But better than that, you are the master debater.
Okay. All right. So look. Let's mention Raw, and then we'll quickly get over to King Lucky SmackDown because he's got something he really wants to talk about. So. On Raw, this past week, I guess the biggest thing there is, did anyone happen to know that Shayna was a vampire?
Yeah.
She's part of the Brood. You didn't know they're bringing back the Brood. Gangrel's going to come back.
You know what? Let me give it to you, King Lucky. What was your take on that segment? I mean, I thought the eye for an eye was something, but when I... When I'm seeing Shayna biting someone's neck and blood is just all over her mouth, that was just a little out there to me. What's your take?
I thought that was awesome heel heat. I thought it was the way to bring her back up. I thought that, you know, after Survivor Series,
awesome.
I think it was.
Awesome. Awesome.
It was awesome. It was awesome heel heat. It was.
Hey, look, I'm going to put a fucking wad of cranberry sauce in my mouth.
Right.
I just bit her neck.
Yeah, it was a little too much for me, man. But go ahead. I don't know. It was like, come on. It was.
Well, apparently King Lucky was just all awestruck by this, this exchange of neck biting.
I thought it was a great angle. I did.
Jesus, it was like Papa John turning fucking pizza into Papa Diaz.
What? It really wasn't a great angle because she bit the back of her neck. If she had came in more on the side, would have been a good angle. You know what I mean? You got the aorta. You know, all that would have squirted out. But, you know, hey, right. I'm not doing the writing.
No. She could hide the shit underneath of her hair.
There you go.
She could hide the packet.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the angle. I thought it was great. And I look forward to what's coming next with those two.
And he can't wait to see his first pair of boobies either.
You know what's
hey,
so funny?
Boobies!
You know what? It just occurred to me. Maybe King Lucky was excited because, you know, who doesn't get excited with two women or one woman biting another woman's back of her neck and it not be a sexual thing?
The gentleman just basically said that he's 9 years old and thinks that vampires are real, and that was a very effective looking blood packet.
Vampire Shayna Baszler. You know, the thing is, if it we'll see how they go from here with Shayna. I didn't have so much of an issue with that as what I did the aftermath with Becky Lynch, you know, stealing an ambulance.
Oh, yeah.
Hypothetically going to the hospital, or as I should say, the local medical facility.
Right.
And then, you know, right when she leaves the hospital, she brings back the stolen ambulance once more. Right. What the fuck?
Well, how the hell was she going to get back? Steal someone else's car?
Sure, why not? This is Grand Theft fucking Auto around here.
Just about to say, Grand Theft Auto. Hey, Sin City Steve, you know what was funny too?
What's that?
All of that blood in not one person said viscous red fluid.
I know,
not
man.
Once.
What?
Perfect opportunity.
Viscous. But yeah, I did. Like I said, I didn't have so much of an issue with the execution of that. We'll see how they portray Shayna going forward. Hopefully they don't, you know, ramp up the hokiness with that shit and actually make her into a fucking vampire. Dude.
Hey, Sin City Steve.
The writing's on the wall.
Hey, I just looked on my phone. Rumor has it that they've WWD has contacted Michelle L. Geller to reprise her role as Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She signed a 2-month contract deal with WWE.
Oh my goodness.
Oh Jesus.
Well, I mean, that pretty much was the highlight of Raw, unless there was anything else you guys want to mention from the show last week that caught your attention.
Freaking Matt Hardy giving a damn good freaking
yeah.
promo. That shit was golden, and we're talking about
was.
Real life shit.
True.
Got him another week in the out. Fed.
Yeah. I was like, damn, of all people. Mm-hmm. Like shit. Yeah, you know, it was getting a little emotional. I could feel it.
I read something early. I don't know where from. I'm not, probably, you know, not even legit. But it said something about that he hasn't signed his latest WWE contract. Like, it's been offered, but he hasn't yet signed it. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's your
okay.
You're late on the boat.
Oh, so that is true. I'm just late. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully he signs it, or maybe he's going to be the exalted one.
Well, let me ask you this question. Doesn't Jeff Hardy go to court coming
up. He goes
up.
To court a lot of times.
Well, I know he goes to court a lot of times, but I'm talking about on this recent, I think it's in March, he's supposed to go to court. And, you know, I'm just wondering, it's a stretch and maybe I'm reaching.
So you think his contract is based on Jeff's court?
I don't think it's based on that, but I'm just wondering, you know, would Jeff in this holding pattern, because he's still very much on contract from what I've gathered. And he does have that big court case coming up in, I think, either March or April, one of the two. So I'm just wondering if maybe that could be the reason for a stall, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, possibility. Who knows? Let me ask you right quick, Matt Michaels. Isn't it exciting to see MVP back with doing his show, and he had the two little security guards right at the front by the red rope that you had to kind of, you know, you have to see if your name's on the list before you could come by. Isn't that exciting to see? I actually laughed at that. Now, that to me was entertaining. The Shayna part's not so entertaining, but that right there, I was dying.
Yeah, well, you know, there's just not enough talk segments on WWE television, so I'm glad that they're doing something about it.
Well, there you have it. Let's talk about SmackDown. King Lucky, I don't know what you were going to say, so I'm going to give you the floor, but yeah, go ahead.
Just a couple quick notes. I think that with Bayley facing Carmella mm-hmm. in the match and in the way that it did, I definitely could see Carmella winning at Super Showdown coming up here next week. I think that pay-per-view is definitely in need of some title change to freshen it up. I don't think those shows have enough excitement in them.
So we're jumping.
What the fuck are you?
So we're jumping to the Super Showdown. Okay, I thought it was going to SmackDown. No, all right, so let's go to the Super Showdown now.
It sounds like King Lucky's prepping himself to do a little bit of smacking the meat around.
Yeah. Those Super Showdown shows are not being produced for fucking your pleasure, man. It's straight what the Saudis want. That's what he's getting. That's the Prince's show, man.
Well, also, too, elsewhere on SmackDown, you had Hogan cutting a little bit of a promo like he might show up at Super Showdown.
Well, it's no secret that it's any of the Super Showdowns, all they really want is the freaking legends. I mean, come on.
You're looking at it through the goggles of someone who, like, has had 15 beers and fucking is just watching wrestling for the first time, man.
Well, elsewhere on SmackDown, I thought the Otis and Mandy Rose angle ended very good. And I think Otis is such a star with tremendous upside. And I really enjoyed that one with Ziggy playing the spoiler at the end there.
Yeah, they're going to put the world championship on Otis. I see Vince doing that anytime soon.
I wouldn't go that far, but I definitely think he's entertaining and he's got a tremendous upside.
What is his upside?
Well, it's definitely his belly. That's the upside.
Okay.
The power's in the belly.
You know, I will say something to that effect of the whole Mandy Rose things. It maybe it's just me, but I don't find her as entertaining as she once was. I don't know why, but I just don't find her entertaining with the whole Otis. I find Otis very entertaining, but I don't find Mandy very entertaining. I feel like I don't know if it's the script writers or whatever. This is very just bland. Like, all she does is just look cute and bat her eyelashes, and that's it. Like, I don't see
Well, they're
much.
Playing to her strengths.
I guess so.
Was she Meryl Streep, like, fucking 6 months ago? What the hell?
Well, yeah, she's never really had a capacity for much depth in that. But I'm just saying, like, I don't find her entertaining at all. You know, I'm just wondering, like, in fact, I look forward to hearing Lana's ass, you know, even on a whole different show. But I'm just saying, like, I look forward to seeing shit like that. Or Lucky's favorite, Mella. I look forward to hearing her talk. You see what I'm saying? Then I see Mandy Rose in a segment. I could care.
Oh, you mean, the people who are entertaining, sure. But yeah, Mandy has never been good. That's the whole thing.
Maybe I'm just trying to be a nice guy and give her the benefit of a doubt, but can't do that for someone with no talent, I guess.
Yep. Wow. All right. Anything else? I feel
really bad for the people who went to that SmackDown show live because they only got two matches. Realistically.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, like the show had a pretty good flow. Obviously, you know, a lot of exposition, a lot of storyline stuff. But imagine if you bought a ticket to go watch live wrestling and you got that night of matches.
That'd be like going to SmackDown here at the T-Mobile Center and having a draft.
Facts. Facts.
Glad I didn't spend money on that ticket.
That's true.
I do want to add one more thing.
Yeah.
The theme song for SmackDown still fucking sucks. Please change that shit ASAP. I am tired of hearing that butt fucking song. I can't stand it. It is just horrible. And it was a Fox decision, I'm sure.
Of course.
That smelt like fucking, like I felt like the only thing that was missing was a Kager, fucking shotguns and American flags and explosions in the background.
It's an AC/DC song. What the fuck?
I don't give a fuck if it's your two dads in a fucking garage slapping nuts together. The shit's got to go. I am not excited for that when SmackDown comes.
Oh, you're ready.
So Simon, what you're saying is that you're not ready?
I'm sure the fuck not. I'm turned the fuck down when I hear that song. I hit mute.
Are you ready for a good time?
Time out. You know what they should fucking play for SmackDown? They should play that new Eminem song, Godzilla. Play that shit.
Okay, whatever.
I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's okay.
Hey, is anybody excited, I guess, for Super Showdown besides King Lucky?
Well, he's not excited. He just said that everything sucks and it's going to be horrible.
I'm super excited. I'm so excited. I'm lathering myself with oil right now so that in a week I'll be ready to just slide right through that some bitch. Because that's normally what I do when I watch a super show. I just wait, not watch it live, wait and skim through the parts that I think look interesting.
Brock Lesnar and Ricochet?
I'm in on that match. Brock Lesnar typically has his better matches with smaller guys.
Yep.
So I expect that match to be a very good one.
I think so as well.
Okay.
Until Ricochet gets hurt during it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest part of the night will be when they count how many suplexes that Brock Lesnar hits him with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what, guys? Looking at this totally negative, do you know that Ricochet has found 6 of the Dragon Balls? He may find the 7th Dragon Ball before the match and wish that he could be as big as Brock Lesnar to actually put a dent in that big meat castle, whatever the fuck his name is. So at the end of the day,
who's Ricochet?
that's what his name's going to be after Brock Lesnar whoop his ass. Ricochet.
That's funny.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you guys think wins the gauntlet match? R-Truth, Rusev, Andrade, Lashley, AJ Styles, or Eric Rowan?
AJ Styles.
No, fuck that.
AJ Styles.
No, fuck that. Mansoor fucking gets replaced. Takes the place of one of those motherfuckers in there and wins that some bitch.
Yep.
Probably R-Truth.
Bingo. Yeah. R-Truth shows up happen. The wrong building or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be a great opportunity to push Rusev, who's criminally underused.
Criminally.
Well, who's dating Ric Flair's kid?
Andrade.
Oh, there you go.
He's already the champion.
So what?
Yeah, I don't know if he retains. He's got a problem with the wellness department of WWE. So,
well, I can tell you right now, he's always going to be retaining the queen. And as far as the wellness policy, when you eating that every night, you're always going to be well.
And speaking of wellness policy, so was Samoa Joe. Yeah. So, come on.
Yeah, true that. You know, going back right quick to the SmackDown again, what do you guys think of Sami Zayn, though, with the whole protest on? Isn't Sami just great at what he does?
Sami's outstanding. I don't know why they don't utilize him as a more of a performer, but, you know, it's
more of a performer. That's what they're doing.
No, an in-ring talent. I want to see him wrestle.
Has it ever occurred to you is maybe he can't right now?
Maybe. Maybe he's been out, he's been off for a while then. Get well soon, Sami Zayn, if you can't wrestle.
Well, cool. Guys, we covered the sort of the top shows that was going on. Anything else you want to talk about? New Japan, NWA, ROH, Impact Wrestling. Anything else you've been watching? Anyone want to cover? That's, you know, been in good entertaining TV.
Yeah, congratulations to Jordan Grace for winning the Knockouts Championship.
Ah, yeah, that is pretty big. She's been doing her thing for a while and dominant in the ring.
Yep.
Yeah. Looking good doing it too.
Yeah, that's true.
Big Mama Pump.
I think Matt Michaels wants to give us the full rundown on what happened with in New Japan. We're waiting, Michaels.
Well, Sasha Kashimoto defeated Ryan Crest, which it was good. I mean, there was so much drama in that match. The Japanese crowd was on the edge of their seats. I thought that they were actually going to have a reaction. It was amazing.
Oh. Jesus. What else you guys got?
In all seriousness,
sure.
John Moxley. Mm-hmm. Did face Minoru Suzuki in New Japan, and we didn't really talk about it.
Okay.
It happened about a week ago.
Okay.
But, yeah, dude, those guys tore it the fuck up, beat the shit out of each other, and John Moxley did retain the IWGP United States Championship.
Okay.
But was attacked after the match by Zack Sabre Jr., so that could be an interesting match for sure. Definitely a clash of styles, but we'll see how Moxley responds to that.
Yeah.
Now was that guy that Moxley fought? Was he a Jewish Japanese guy?
No, he actually wasn't. He Minoru Suzuki is one of the pioneers, bro.
A guy whose name Minoru is not Jewish.
Jesus.
Oh my gosh, you are so hard.
I didn't even get that at first.
No, I got it. You know, that's why I was like,
you know what, Sin City? We should actually do a GoFundMe, get this man Michaels a plane ticket, and have him go interview him and ask him that question. I would pay money to see that shit.
Right? Get your ass whooped.
I don't know, and then you told me at the end of the match you got Lou Diamond Phillips coming in, which I don't know how you can get excited by that.
Wow, Lou Diamond Phillips. Wow.
Yeah, but you know what though, I will say this about Zack Sabre Jr. I always enjoy seeing him go to work on body parts. I know that sounds right. Bad the way I put it, but I mean that dude is a surgeon.
He is a surgeon. Yeah,
he is a surgeon. I mean, and you know, for anybody who hasn't had an opportunity or the pleasure of watching any of his matches, you know, I think King Lucky only saw him in the cruiserweight tournament. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. But I want to see more submission style wrestling.
Yes.
More. And again, kind of speaking back, and I'm sorry, this is all coming to the top of my head. Since when you were talking about Johnny Wrestling and Finn Balor.
Yeah,
on TakeOver, there was a lot of submission wrestling, a lot of ground, and it is a treat to see that when it's done well.
Exactly. And
I want to see more of that. I actually honestly felt when I was watching that match, this is something I expect to see in New Japan.
Yeah. I agree with that.
You also had Ricky Starks and Matt Cross wrestle this week in a really good match. Ricky Starks is just an outstanding talent. I mean, on the mic and in the ring, great promos. So they've got a show coming up, and you know, they'll be tied to ROH now. Looks like for the foreseeable future. So I expect nothing but great things from NWA.
NWA. There we go.
And Melina. Oh my goodness. How you can fall head over heels for somebody in two different decades of your life. All I gotta say, that woman has not aged at all. She looked fine back when I was probably, 26? So, yeah, almost like a 10-year span. Yeah.
Is Chuck D still with them?
Oh, shit, that's hilarious. Good one.
Well, guys, I think we've said it all for this edition of Wrestling Talk. We've been talking for a good hour. We want to remind everyone again that this show is brought to you by our live show that is coming Wednesday, March 11th at Boulder's Station, the ROH World Heavyweight Champion, PCO. Definitely start planning to come out and hang out with us. 6 p.m. start time. Definitely 21 years age or over.
And guess what? We're going to be giving away a pair of tickets for Friday night show and a pair of tickets for Saturday night show.
And that's awesome because the Friday is the pay-per-view and Saturday is the TV taping. So those are going to be great.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Awesome. Fellas, I'm going to do final thoughts and then we're out of here. So I'm going to start with you, Sin City Steve. What's your final thoughts for the show?
I don't really have any final thoughts.
Okay.
That's my final thought.
That's a good final. You know what? That's something Matt would actually say.
I know, man. I don't know.
You beat him to it.
Great week of wrestling.
Absolutely. King Lucky.
Rumor has it.
Mm-hmm.
Final thought is, yes, it was a great week of wrestling, but the rumor has it that Tito Ortiz is training at the Performance Center, and I think we could very well see him next year in his hometown, Los Angeles, for WrestleMania. That's my final thought.
Okay. All right. Simon Street.
Definitely a good week of wrestling, but I also want to take a moment real quick to let all of our listeners know us here at the Vegas Bad Boys podcast, and we care a lot about our community, and we definitely want to take the opportunity to let you know some of the Bad Boys each week will be auctioning off some of their personal items to raise money for awareness of things. And just so happens this first week, DJ Impact will be auctioning off some white furry slippers. They're going to be posted on our social media page. We are going to ask the bidding start at $100.
Cut this off. Please, cut it off. This is awful.
Oh. Can we post some pictures again on our social media just one more time, please?
Is this the Eye for an Eye segment?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah,
go for
it.
Oh my god. Matt, go ahead, Matt.
I just end it.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all for listening, and we'll be back next week. Until then, peace.
Wait. I got a final word.
Peace.
Bad Boys of Podcasting.